When the burdens of life get heavy, bring it to the feet of Jesus. Amen? When difficulties are upon us, bring it to the feet of Jesus. Bring God your broken heart. There are people in this life right now that's walking around daily and their heart seems to be shattered from the different difficulties and challenges and storms that comes about in people's life. Bring that, brothers and sisters, to the very feet of Jesus Christ. Bring God your sickness. The sickness that many times people are facing, whether it be physical, mental, or both, bring it to the feet of Jesus. Maybe it's a weakness that you have. Maybe it's an addiction that you have that you would love to be able to get rid of. Bring that addiction, bring that weakness to the very feet of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're confused about things in the arena of religion or Christianity. Bring it, my friend, to the very feet of Jesus Christ. Don't try to fix it on your own. Let Jesus be your guide, because Jesus is indeed the answer. Amen? Bring your doubt. Bring your concerns. Bring all of these things to the feet of Jesus. And I promise you, if you'll do that with an open heart and a sincere heart, you will receive God's grace. You'll receive His mercy. You'll receive His forgiveness and receive strength to endure whatever you and I may be facing in this life. I want to encourage every single one of us today, no matter what you may be going through, no matter how difficult things may appear to be, don't stop. Keep going. Don't just stop. And sadly, so many people in their walk with Jesus Christ, when difficulties are upon them and the winds of controversy have blown their way, sadly, far too many people, far too many air-quote Christians, are just cashing out. They're just not being faithful to the cause of Christ. Brothers and sisters, when we're facing those difficulties in life, when we are faced with these challenges, that's a time to draw even more nigh to God. Do you agree with that? That is the time that God will help us get through that terrible storm in life. Just make sure that we just keep going. Title of our lesson today, those three words, just keep going. Repeat that with me now. Just keep going. So no matter what it may be that's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your life, in your family's life, on your job, whatever the situation is, I just want to encourage you in the light of God's word, don't cash out. Don't give up. Don't say, what the heck good is this? Don't just think that you can't make it. I promise you, the Bible tells us, and we're going to look at a thrilling example of that in a little bit. The Bible says, I can do, help me with this, all things through who strengthens me. And that's a beautiful blessing that we have from our Father above. But having your Bibles with you, let me show you something. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And I want us to see that it is determination and persistence and our walk in faith toward God that will help us to overcome all of these trials and difficulties that come our way. But here's the very important part of this, darling. First of all, we must humble ourselves. Amen? We've got to humble ourselves in the presence of God. Far too many times when we're faced with these difficulties and these challenges and these struggles that we're up against, we think we can come up with a cure. We think we can handle it. We think, well, here's how I will be able to get through this. First of all, we need to understand we need to be humbled. Every single person in this building, at one time or another in your life, you have been humbled or you need to be humbled. Does that sound like a fair assessment? The Bible tells us to humble ourselves before God. So let's see what's going on here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Look with me at verse 6. Start there. The Bible says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of who? That He may exalt you in due time. That He, God, may be the one to pick you up. That He, God, may be the one to raise you up. And he goes on to say this in verse 7. Casting all of your cares upon Him, for He, the Bible says, He, God, cares for who? He cares for you. He cares for us individually. Go to number 8. The Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Seeking whom he's going to consume. And, you know, understand the devil's not just going to come out of the woodwork somewhere with horns on and a red cape and carrying a pitchfork. That's not how the devil's always going to show up. He may show up on your job. He may show up in your family. He may show up with rebellious children. He may show up with bad parents or parents making bad decisions. He may show up in a financial setting. He may show up any way that he can. You know why? Because he wants to disrupt the family circuit, doesn't he? He wants to break that family circuit. Why? Because home is the center point of society today, isn't it? And if we can ruin the home, we can ruin the world. So don't let Satan have victory over you. Don't you dare let Satan come in and have his way with you or your family. As we said before, he is out of here. And the Bible says to be sober, be alert, be aware, be vigilant, be ready to fight back. We talk about, and the Bible talks about be vigilant. That's not saying, oh, I recognize that's the devil's attack and then walk away. The Bible says be vigilant because your adversary, he's your enemy. He's walking about. He's going to find a way to get into your life if you let him. Amen? So let's make sure that we fight him back. Look what the Bible says in there. Because he's going to devour us if we let him. The Bible says in number 9, resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Well, what does that mean? That means that whatever you're facing, you're not alone. Amen? You're not alone. So all of us face difficulties. Tony's got difficulties and I've got difficulties. They may be a little different. They could be the same. But we know if we humble ourselves in the presence of God, Tony, we're going to be all right, aren't we? We just have to put our reliance upon God and just keep going. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look at this. Go ahead and go 11. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And the Bible says, amen. So that's a beautiful confirmation, brothers and sisters. So let me say it again as we get into the points of the lesson. Just keep going. Say it, congregation. Just keep going. Several of you did not respond, looking straight down. Let's do it again, or I'll keep doing it, I promise. Just keep going. Very good. Just want to make sure. Here's your first point that I want us to examine this morning. When we talk about just keep going, I'm convinced, according to the Bible, that we can keep going if, that's a conditional word, if we don't grow weary in well-doing. If we don't grow weary in doing the right thing, we will be able to be conquerors. Folks, one of the ways that we can keep going is by not becoming soon discouraged. Do you think that's what happens in a Christian walk today? As many people can become soon discouraged. They become a child of God. They're introduced to Jesus Christ. They're introduced to what righteous living should be. And then whatever happens in life can bring them down. And sometimes he can take them so low that they become soon discouraged. And then once again, they feel like God's not on their side. It's not God being on our side. It's us being on God's side. Amen? And when we join hands with Christ, the Bible says we become joint heirs of that beautiful place called heaven. But we are to be joint heirs. We can't expect God to do everything and us do nothing. It takes our part as well. God has done his part by sending Jesus, his son, to die in your place and mine. He has done his part, hasn't he? Have we done our part? Have we, and are we fully submitting ourselves to the will of God? Are we fully trusting Jesus Christ to do what he says he will do? I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, we've got to make certain that we have that trust in him. I love what Paul talked about to the churches of Galatians 6. 8 and 9, the Bible says, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So you see, you have a choice to make. I can continue to just do what I'm doing and trust in the things of the world. Well, that's going to be my reward, isn't it? Or I can trust in the Spirit and I can walk in the Spirit and I can know that God is a Spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I know that if I am in Christ and Christ is in me, what am I going to become? Joint heirs with Jesus. Amen? Joint heirs mean that heaven will be my home as well. But he who sows to the Spirit, I love that, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 9, and let us not grow weary. That's where we get in trouble. Let us not grow weary while doing what? For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we don't lose our faith. If we don't just toss in the towel, if we don't give up, if we will just keep what? Going. Very good. Brothers and sisters, do you know who the Apostle Paul is? Have anybody heard of him? The Apostle Paul. Do you remember the many things that he went through after his conversion on the road to Damascus. You remember the Bible showed us that he was, what, snake bitten? He was shipwrecked? Yeah. And he was being looked after by some of his own people who was looking out to try to kill him. You remember that? So there was a lot of things going on with the Apostle Paul. Do you remember when he was doing the work of God, he and a buddy, his name Silas, was doing the work of the Lord and was casting out this, we'll call it a fortune teller, the spirits of a fortune teller. Do y'all remember what happened with him? He was dragged into prison. He and Silas were put into prison. They was put into stocks and they were beaten. Do you think that they cashed out? Do you think that they just gave up? Or do you think they just kept going? What do you think? I appreciate both of y'all. What do you think, congregation? You think they just kept going or you think they cashed out? They just kept going, didn't they? And we know the full situation in Acts chapter 16, 16 through 34. The Bible gives us the full story, brothers and sisters, of what happened there. They was arrested. They was taken back. You know, they was singing. They was doing all these things. Earthquakes came. All of this happened and deliverance came about. They never gave up, did they? So what about it? When you look at Paul and you look at his consistency in Christ, once he became a Christian, he was pretty consistent, wasn't he? In favorable times and unfavorable times, Paul was very consistent. Why? Because he wasn't going to give up. He didn't give up, and we know great was his reward. So what about it? Do we see Paul in his consistency? Do we see a man when we look at Paul, one that loved the Lord and willing to do anything for him? Paul and Silas was able to overcome that huge obstacle that they were facing because they did not grow weary in doing really good. Let's go back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 18. Romans 8, look at 18. The Bible says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy." Look at this. "Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He knew that the current situation would go away, didn't he? He knew that this is only temporary, but what's coming is permanent. Yeah, we might be in a tough situation right now. We may be faced with adversity at this very moment. We may have sickness upon us, financial setbacks. Maybe there are some parental issues. Maybe there are some children issues. Whatever it is, all of that, even though it may be tough and difficult, we're not minimizing those things, but understand it pales in comparison to how great things will be when Jesus comes back. Amen. All right. So just remember as your first point, we can keep going if we don't grow weary in well-doing. The second point that I want us to look at this morning is this. I'm convinced, according to the Bible, that we can keep going when we keep our eyes and our faith on and in Jesus Christ. But we've got to keep our eyes on and in Christ. How do we keep our eyes in Christ? By being in His Word. Amen? By doing what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed." You might know what it says. "Rightly," very good, "rightly dividing the word of truth," or the word of God. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, how old you are. It doesn't matter about your level of education. It doesn't matter about your financial status. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Kurdish, Native American, or any other race. If you remove your eyes from Jesus Christ, if you take your eyes off of the Lord, I promise you, according to the Scripture, you will lose your faith in the Father and you will crash. Do you understand that? Okay, so I want to make sure I'm talking to me as well, because again, far too many people, when these storms come about, they start looking at how am I going to handle this? How am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? And I've never been faced. If you got that eye, you got that eye of my disease, and I promise you, you will crash. But when we put our faith in God, when we do what the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your cares upon Him." Why? Because the Bible says He cares for you. We are children of the Most High God. God is our Father. We are God's children, and God loves us, and He's demonstrated that love over and over and over again. God will look out for us. God has a plan. We don't always understand it. We don't always have to even agree with it, but we are to submit to Almighty God. Amen? All right. So the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, you know, here's a passage of scripture that tells us just how important it is to have faith in the Father. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who, help me, diligently seeks Him. And then you can go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, looking at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking, go ahead. Very good. Looking unto Jesus, He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of who? Thank you, Heather, at the throne of God. This is the one. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ. This is who we'll be joint heirs with if we just don't quit. Amen? If we will just keep going. Say that with me. If we will just keep going. Very good. All right. So looking unto Jesus, who can we think about in the Bible? Perhaps you like me and will show me a little illustration about who kept looking to Jesus. Later today, if you want to read Genesis chapter 22, if you want to look at verses 1 through 14, 1 through 15, you'll read about a fellow named Abraham who was called upon to offer his only son. What was that boy's name? Starts with an I? Isaac. And he was called to take Isaac up on the mountain and offer him as a sacrifice to God. Thus he did, didn't he? He did it. And the Lord provided the sacrifice. We can also consider a fellow in the Bible named Job. Anybody ever heard of Job? All right. So Job was one in the Bible that certainly did not cash out. He did not sell Christ. He did not sell God. He did not sell himself. He continued to be faithful even after losing everything you could possibly lose. He lost everything and everybody in his life except himself. And even lost his own health, didn't he? But Job charged God with no wrong. Amen? That's the guy who just kept going. We can think about Noah. I don't think we give Noah enough credit, do we? Noah's a guy in the Bible that God told him, said, hey, build this big ark. It's never rained before, but build it because I'm going to bring some waters up on the face of this earth. It's going to rain for a long time. You need to build this. Can you imagine what people were thinking about him? Can you imagine what people were saying about him? Can you imagine how they were looking and making a mockery out of Noah? But I love what the Bible says. When God gave him instruction on how to build the ark and when, how, what, and to do, the Bible says, thus Noah did. Absolutely. He did what God told him to do. And as a result, was Noah saved? Well, as a result, was Noah saved? Yes, absolutely. Why? Because he did what God told him to do. Can y'all hear me better like this? It's going to hurt my back the whole time, but if you don't answer, then I'm going to start doing like this right here. Hey, is that better? Wake up. Got too many people dozing. Don't make me call names. You know I will. All right, so what about Stephen? Not our Stephen, but what about Stephen the martyr? Well, Stephen, you're still a good Christian. He hadn't seen like, well, thanks a lot, lad. But what about Stephen? He stood there, and when they stoned him, do you remember what he did? Who did he act just like? Yes, he did, Heather. He acted just like Jesus when he said, don't even charge him with this sin. They were stoning him, Tony. They was killing him. They were doing all these things to him, and he just took it because he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to cash out. He asked God, said, don't even charge him with this sin that they're committing. They had some misguided zeal. We can think about many in the Bible. Zacchaeus, wasn't he another one that just kept on going? Wasn't he the one that climbed that sycamore tree, yes or no? The sycamore tree, the Bible puts significance in that because sycamore trees are very slick. They're hard to climb. But what did Zacchaeus do? What did Zacchaeus do? He climbed the tree, didn't he? He went right up there. Why? Because he wanted to see who? He wanted to see Jesus. And he did whatever it took because he was so short in stature. And he did whatever he had to do. Let me give you a third point today. I'm convinced, according to the Bible, that we can keep going when we keep our courage, okay, and we keep our faith high by learning and leaning upon God. That is a long point, isn't it? But we can keep on going when we keep our courage, and our faith high by learning and leaning on God's strength. If we don't learn about God's strength, we're never going to know about it, right? And when we learn about it, do you agree we should be leaning on God's strength? Leaning. I think there's a song, Leaning on His Everlasting Arms or something, isn't it? Leaning. You don't want me to sing, I guarantee that. So let's talk about that for a moment. We are children of the Most High God, and once again, let me remind you that God loves His children. I'm afraid that so many people in the world, seriously speaking, have forgotten that. Perhaps we just need to be reminded about how much God loves His children. That is why I agreed when I first came to this congregation that I would probably be doing two passages of Scripture in almost every lesson. Because we need to be reminded constantly about how much God loves us. Over in the book of John, chapter 3, down in verse 16, congregation, say this with me. For God so loved them that He gave His only begotten, that whosoever believes in Him should not, but have everlasting. 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him we might be saved. So I know you think about that. Is that love, yes or no? All right, then I have to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, but God demonstrated His own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Matthew chapter 1, down in verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, down in verse 23. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 7, 14. All of these passages envelop just how much God loves you and me. You know what? When Adam and Eve did what they did, we should have been gone from right there. But what we're seeing is God's grace. We see God's love. We see His mercy. We see His forgiveness. And it has permeated itself all the way from the very beginning of time. And Jerry, today you and I can still wash in the blood of Jesus. We can still love God, and God still loves us. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much of our sin? All of our sin. So we need to lean on God's strength. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with part of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, verse 6, in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And if you do that, the Bible says, what will He do, Bobby? Absolutely, brother. He will direct your path. He's going to tell you which way to go, but you have to put your reliance upon Him. It is of soul-saving importance that we put our reliance, that we lean upon the Lord and not upon ourselves or others. We are to trust God, brothers and sisters, for full deliverance. Does that make sense? Let's keep our courage high. Let's keep our faith high. Let's do all that by trusting in the Almighty Father. If you think about what the Bible says in the book of Psalm, you want to look at that one? Psalm chapter 27, down around verse 14. Psalm 27, 14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, I struggle with that. You're telling me to wait? How long am I supposed to wait? What am I supposed to do? I'm faced with these difficulties. I'm face to face with problems in my life. And you're telling me, Bible, wait. Wait on the Lord. I can't wait. This is an emergency. Anybody else felt that way about things? But the Bible says you're trusted in yourselves at that point. The Bible tells us to wait on the Lord, not ourselves. God will provide. Say that with me. God will provide. Psalms 31, 24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. If your hope is in the Lord, you're going to be all right. Amen? Maybe a rough terrain, maybe difficulties, but if you're trusting in yourself, get ready for the great fall you'll have, I promise. It is not in man's help, not in man who walks and directs his own what? That's right. Can't do it. Can't direct your own path, can't direct your own steps. So, do not give up. Do not throw in the towel. Do not call it quits. Hang in there by hanging with God. Amen? Make sure that the people that you surround yourself with are of like mind. Make sure that you're hanging and associating with other Christians, those of the household of faith. It doesn't take long. If you're with someone that is outside of the fold of safety, if you're with people that's on the outside of the church, it has no regard for the church, I promise you, it won't take long. You'll start finding yourselves picking up some of those habits. Do you believe that? You'll find yourselves talking like they talk and walking like they walk. And We've said it before. If you walk through a landfill, I promise you, you're not going to smell like roses, are you? If we are in the rubbish of the things of the world, and I'm not looking down on people, and you can't either, but there's some people that's caught up in rubbish, isn't it? Caught up in the world. Do you want to smell like that? Do you want to look like that? Do you want to be like that? I don't. I, say this with me, I choose God. Say it. I choose God. And we had that lesson about a year ago. And we're going to revisit that one before long. We've got to make sure that we're choosing God, Brother Larry. Do you agree with that? Choose God. So make sure that we bring these things to the Father. Make God your source of happiness. This world, I promise you, cannot make me happy, but my God always has. Amen? Make God your very best friend. I've had people in my life that I sincerely thought was my best friend, and treachery of a friend hurts pretty bad. Anybody ever been there? Someone that you know that you can confide in, you know that you can trust, you know in your heart that, man, this person will always be there, and then you feel that blade go right through your skin. Oh, it doesn't. Man, that doesn't go away for a while. I've done people wrong, you've done people wrong, and we have been done wrong. Amen? It's not a good thing. But brothers and sisters, our God, our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, God's great Son, is the best friend we'll ever have. He will never betray us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If there is a separation between you and God today, if there's a separation between you and Jesus, I promise you, you're the one that walked away, not my Jesus. Amen? So let's make sure today that Jesus is the one, that God is the one, and that we, brothers and sisters, are staying faithful to Him. He's our best friend. And make God the Lord of your life. What does the word Lord mean? Starts with an M. Master. Very good, Amy. So the word Lord means master. So make sure that Jesus is the master, the Lord of our life, obeying Him. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the... Y'all believe it? All right. So let's be sure that we all as Christians remain steadfast, because steadfastness, what that does is it ensures continual faithfulness. If I am steadfast in God's Word, and steadfast in my attendance of the Lord's church, and steadfast in my studies, steadfast in my living, that's going to help us. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? I appreciate all three of y'all thinking that was awesome. That's pretty great, isn't it? To be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in what God wants us and requires us to abound in. So just keep going. Say that. Just keep going. Very good. Don't give up. Your marriage, it'll make it. I promise you, it'll make it. Your situation with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, it's going to be all right. Just keep, make sure that God's first. You'll pass the test that you're trying to pass. You're going to be able to get through the situation that you're up against. That financial crisis you're facing, it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it. I'm not trying to pull a Joel Osteen here. What I'm trying to tell you is this, that my God doesn't lie, that my God will provide, that God will take care of us. It may not be exactly the way we want it. It may not be when we want it, but it will be what God wants for us in our life. Amen? Make sure that we are putting our trust in Him. Cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. So what is it that you're going through this very moment? Is it so tough that you think it's above God's control? Whatever you're faced with today, do you seriously think, well, I don't even know if God can handle that? If you're thinking that, let us pray with you, for you, help you, and encourage you, because God created everything, didn't He? God created you. He created me. These adversal things that we're up against, God can walk us through those fires. I promise you that. Bring it to the feet of Jesus and receive the mercy, the forgiveness, and receive strength to endure. The cure for all of our life's problems is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? The cure for life today is your obedience unto Him. So where are you right now in your walk with Jesus Christ? I hope today that if you're a Christian, that you're continuing to trust Him and never give up, no matter what happens. Just keep going. When you get home today and a spouse asks you what the lesson was about, or your girlfriend or your children, whoever, says, what was the lesson about? Just keep going. Don't give up. God is awesome. Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep inviting you. I'm going to keep pushing you. because I want to share heaven with you. Amen. Hear His word. I gave it to you. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for your sins and for my sins. Believe that He was buried and 3 days later He arose from the grave. That was a resurrection. Same way you and I are resurrected. We're put to death in the water grave of Greba baptism. We're resurrected from the dead. Sins were put to death and now we walk in the newness of life. Make up on that confession of faith. Live faithful unto death, unto and into our death. Be faithful as strong and as long as we can. Does that make sense? All right. And then always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. We got a responsibility to those people that are about us. Maybe today you're a Christian, you went through those steps, but man, things have just gotten nasty in your life. The world came in. It's easy. It is easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to find ourselves engaged in things that we know we shouldn't. But sometimes those obstacles are too big for us to handle it on our own. That's why your preacher stands before you all the time saying, will you pray for your preacher? That's why I stand here publicly and say, hey, I need the prayers of this congregation. I'm not ashamed of asking for prayers. I'm ashamed sometimes of the things I say or do. Does that make sense? I'm asking you to pray for your preacher, pray for my family, pray for the people that I have an influence on. Let it always be in a positive way. Today, if you need the prayers of the congregation, let us know. Let us pray with you, for you, and encourage you, and lift you up as we lift up the mighty name of God. Amen. If you have a need, come now as together we stand and we sing.